Hi there, how's it going, my good sir? I hope you are doing well. I am doing very good. I can't wait to talk some Cowboys with you. Today I wanted to cover a couple different things. I wanted to talk first about the five Cowboys players that were selected to the Pro Bowl. I also wanted to cover the supposed Leighton Vander Esch snub from the Pro Bowl. I wanted to give my thoughts on that. I also, at the end, wanted to go into the game, the game coming up against the Bucks, and give my prediction to see, you know, what I think is going to happen, how I think we can win, and what the score is going to be. So, getting right into it, the Pro Bowlers that were selected from the Cowboys this year were Byron Jones, Zach Martin, Ezekiel Elliott, DeMarcus Lawrence, and Tyron Smith. So clearly all five of these players deserved to be named to the Pro Bowl. Zeke, obviously, I think is going to be a mainstay for a while for the Pro Bowl because, you know, he's one of the top running backs in the NFL. In my opinion, he's top three. I think he was better in his rookie year because he was faster. Byron Jones has made a huge leap this year. When they moved him over to corner, he just showed it's like once they moved him to corner, he was able to showcase all his ability. Because he's incredibly athletic, as we all know. He has, you know, he did that crazy long jump in the NFL Combine. He's pretty fast, and he's kind of a lengthy corner. Let's see, Zach Martin. I don't think he's ever missed a Pro Bowl yet. I think he's been in the Pro Bowl since his rookie year, and he's probably going to continue to be there as long as he stays healthy. Tank, I think this is his second Pro Bowl, his second selection. And Tyron Smith, out of all these five, I think the one that I'm kind of like, really? Tyron Smith is still in the Pro Bowl? And the only reason I say that is because I feel like there's been a drop off in his game. I think he's still a very good left tackle, don't get me wrong, but I feel like there's been a drop off in his game, and I'm not sure what it is, but it seems like he's holding all the time. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it seems like he's holding. And every time I see him hold in a game, I think to myself, why don't you just knock him down? Is that illegal? I'm asking a serious question here, because I'm not really sure. Is it illegal to push a man down that you're blocking? Because it seems like he should be able to easily knock down the person in front of him, and he holds, and I just, every single time in the game, I just think to myself, why didn't you just push him down, dude? You're clearly way stronger than him. Just push him down. Unless you're going to get a penalty, then don't do that. But I'm not really sure if it's legal. I'd like to know. I'll probably look that up to see if it's legal or not. Zeke, like I said, he's probably going to be there for a really long time, as long as he stays healthy, just like Zach Martin. I have a problem with Zeke. I'm sure many of you have the same problem and the same thought. And it's obviously that he's on pace for 410 touches this year. I saw on Reddit today that, I like to look at the headlines on Reddit, and on Reddit today I saw that he's not even going to crack the top five all time that the Cowboys, as far as touches is concerned. DeMarco Murray and Ezekiel and Emmitt Smith are above him with a lot more touches. But 410 touches, that's going to be a lot of touches this year, and I'm worried that next year there's going to be a severe drop off in his game. Because right now he's being used. He's being used a lot. And obviously he's our main weapon on the offense. And if we don't use him, then who are we going to use, you know? Because we need to run. And the only other back that I know of that we have is Rod Smith. And I like Rod Smith. Rod Smith is good. But he's not a very good change of pace back, in my opinion. He's strong and he's big. He's really tall, more than anything, I guess, but and strong. But and I think he's better catching the ball than he is running. And even then, he's not better at catching than Zeke. So that's why Zeke gets used most of the time. So Rod Smith is a good backup, but he's more of a third down back when Ezekiel Elliott is just tired. And if we had another back in there, I'd probably use the other back instead of Smith. I think Rod Smith would be more of a third stringer. So I mean, I don't know. What do you think? I think we should be looking in the draft to pick up another change of pace back. Somebody that can hit the hole real hard, you know what I mean? And just keep going. Zeke was able to do that really, really good his first year, but now he seems like he's going more for the power moves. He's trying to be more powerful, more hitting the guys, always falling forward, and that's awesome. That's good. And he's really fast, but I feel like he was quicker and faster and had more explosiveness to his game his rookie year. And I know that he gets a lot of praise for having patience and when he's running and looking for the hole. And occasionally I like that. He looks for the hole and I like that more than I hate it, but I just wish he was still a little bit more explosive. I'm not saying he doesn't try to take it to the house, but it seems like there's more hesitation there than there should be sometimes. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm being crazy. Maybe I'm being overly picky because Zeke. Maybe I expect more of Zeke, but I don't know. Just some thoughts to throw out there. Not sure what you think. Byron Jones. I think Byron Jones is going to be the key for Sunday's game, because I don't think the Bucks really have anything on us. I think their only weapon is going to be Mike Evans, and I think Byron Jones matches up very good against them. Byron Jones this year, I don't know what happened. I mean, obviously, I know that he got moved from safety over to corner, but he's just been awesome this year. I saw an interview with him where he clearly knows that he's better this year, but I hope that I got the sense that it was going a little bit to his head, like he was thinking that he was one of the top corners in the NFL, and he has played like one this year, but I think he needs to stay humble because sometimes he still gets burned over the top, and I think that's when he gets a lack of concentration, he starts to get burned over the top, and he's a lot better than he had played those first years. And obviously he's showing that this year, but he needs to remain, you know, he needs to remain grounded. He needs to remain concentrated in every play because, like I said, occasionally he'll get burned. I've seen a couple of them, especially on Sunday's game against the Colts. And Zach Martin, well, I don't think I can say anything else about Zach Martin. I'll be honest, primarily because when I'm watching the games, watching the offensive line is not at the very top of my list. It should be, and sometimes I do it. And especially when I see a really good block like that Joe Looney block against the Saints, I believe it was, when he threw that block that just sounded throughout the whole stadium, it seemed like. So occasionally I'll watch them play, but not really that much, so I don't have that much to say about Zach Martin. I don't hear his name being called a lot other than getting praised, so that has to be a very good sign. And And let's get into the Leighton Vander Esch thing. So the Leighton Vander Esch, I see a lot of things that saying that he got snubbed because he has the third most tackles in the NFC. And I understand that getting tackles is a very big part of being a linebacker. That's obvious. I feel like I'm saying obviously a lot. Anyway, that Leighton Vander Esch snub, I don't consider that a snub. He's played very, very well. He's played really, really good, but I don't consider that a snub. I'm not sure what you think, but I think Jalen Smith is better than him. And I don't consider Jalen as having to be in the Pro Bowl, not this year. Leighton Vander Esch obviously can play. He can ball his ass out, and he can go sideline to sideline, and he can guard whoever, and he's big, and he's powerful, and he's a very sure-handed tackler. That's probably why he has those third most tackles in the NFC. But I don't think he's there yet. He's very, very good this year as a rookie, and maybe next year, I think for sure next year, as long as he keeps up this pace, next year he's definitely going to be a Pro Bowler, because right now the person leading the defense is Jalen. Jalen's the one, if you look at the games, Jalen seems to be the one that's directing the defense. He's telling Leighton where to go. He's telling them what to watch out for. I'm not saying Leighton isn't very smart, but I can clearly see that Jalen's the one that's directing that defense. He's the leader of the defense. So I get the Pro Bowl quote-unquote snub of Leighton. It'll get there, guys. Don't worry. It'll get there. Next year, third year for sure, but I predict it's going to be next year. And Jalen might be there too. Which brings me to a different point. Players who have shown the most, shown the most improvement this year. So I saw, this was another headline that I saw on Reddit. And according to the headline, or according to the article, the Reddit headline was a link to Blogging the Boys, I think. I don't really remember. It was one of those Cowboys websites. And it was saying that, no, it wasn't Blogging the Boys. It was a different one. It was something with a red headline. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The article was saying that the most improved players were Gallup, Dalton, and Jordan Lewis. And when I saw Jordan Lewis, I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Jordan Lewis improved? And I don't see, yes, he improved a little bit, but not enough to be mentioned like that. He improved in the sense that he got like three good tackles against the Saints and an interception. That's one game. How is that showing improvement? Even if you're talking from the beginning of the season, because clearly you're talking from the beginning of the season, because you're talking about Gallup, who's a rookie, and Dalton, who's another rookie. So if you're talking about improvement in the season, he's really only had one good game. Why is Jalen Smith not on that list? Jalen should be on that list. Gallup should be on that list. Blake Jarwin should be on that list. Gallup has clearly elevated his game, and I think it has a lot to do with Amari Cooper coming over to the Cowboys, because he's opened up gaps for Gallup, and he's opened up gaps for Ezekiel Elliott, and really all around the offense for the tight ends, because within the last two or three games, those two tight ends really have shown up. Blake Jarwin doing great catches. Dalton Schultz also catching good passes and blocking. Dalton Schultz reminds me more of Jason Witten than Blake Jarwin does, but he reminds me of a smaller version of Jason Witten in the way that he can block, at least for these last few games. But Jordan Lewis, when I saw that, I was like, I mean, okay, I guess, but I would have picked other players. Which brings me to my next point. Josh Gordon, I saw the thing about Josh Gordon being on the commissioner's exempt list again. My first reaction and thought, as I'm sure it was for you too, was, well, that was a bullet dodged. Could have ended up with no fifth round pick and no wide receiver. Or worse. If they got into a bidding war, maybe it would have been a fourth rounder or even a third rounder. I remember when that trade happened, a lot of people were saying that Josh Gordon, that the Patriots took Josh Gordon for a cheap price. I didn't want Josh Gordon, but at the time, whenever we made the Amari Cooper, just like you, I was just thinking, well, seems like we could have gotten an equal player for less, for a lower asking price. But now that we've gone more into the season, it seems like we dodged the bullet. At least right now, it does. Who knows what'll happen with Amari? So, like I said, I like to look at Reddit a lot. Not just for the Cowboys subreddit. I look at Reddit for a bunch of other things. Personal finance is one of my favorite things, and they're just because it pretty much. I never knew anything about personal finance until I started going into Reddit a couple, probably like 4 or 5 or 6 years back. I'm not really sure, but personal finance really helped me. Get my stuff together, because I never had any experience, any personal experience with my parents. My mom never really was that kind of person who knew very much about finance. I think she still doesn't. I consider myself that I know more than her, but that's all thanks to Reddit and personal finance. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is that in Reddit I saw another link, and this one was going for sure to Blogging the Boys, and the headline of the link was, if Cowboys can't beat the Tampa Bay Bucks, then they don't deserve to win the NFC East. And I thought to myself, really? How's that so? First of all, winning games and winning championships isn't about who deserves it. It's about who does the most to win it. So that's a load of BS right there to me. There's a lot of things that people deserve that they don't get. It's not about deserving. It's about getting. It's about action. It's about doing it. It's like, immediately I thought back to soccer, because I like to watch soccer too. Eventually I'll probably start talking about soccer, but not right now. Because NFL is more important. But there's a thing, immediately I thought back to soccer, because in soccer, it's very easy for one of the teams to play incredibly good and just completely outclass the other team. But if the other team gets lucky and on a counterattack scores the lone goal of the whole game, then guess who wins? The team who played crappiest. Happens all the time. I'm not saying this is a good thing or a bad thing. I'm just saying that it's not about who deserves it. It's about who takes the action and who does it. I realize that the Tampa Bay Bucks are not a very good team. They are 5-9, and they're coming off of 2 losses. One to the Ravens and the last one to the Saints. Both of which are very, very good teams, especially the Saints. But that Baltimore defense is no joke, let me tell you. I watched that game that they played against the Kansas City Chiefs. That game was very good. It was very entertaining. Lamar Jackson does look like a second Michael Vick. I had doubts about that. And then I watched him play and I was like, he does look like second Michael Vick. He just needs a little, he just like Michael Vick, he needs to get better at throwing the ball. I think Michael Vick looked better throwing the ball than Lamar Jackson does, but I think Jackson can get there eventually. Anyway, the Bucks lost those two games, so they're obviously not a very good, they're not a very good team based on the record. They're 5-9, and overall, if you look at them, they don't really have that much talent. Mike Evans is their only weapon, because I don't consider O.J. Howard to be a game-changing tight end like George Kittle, or George Kittle has been this year, or Travis Kelce has been for a while, or Gronkowski was at one point. He's not anymore because he's always injured. Let's see. Like I said, it's not about whether you deserve the NFC or the NFC's championship. It's about whether you get it. And right now we're in a perfect position. We need to win one more game. That's all we need. One game. And if we don't beat the Bucks, then we still have another chance against the Giants. And if we don't beat the Giants, then I'll say we don't deserve it. Because then guess what? It might not happen. Because then we would depend on the Eagles and the Redskins. So then that's when we wouldn't deserve it. But right now, you can't be talking about deserving it or not. It's about who takes action. Okay, so that kind of struck a nerve with me just because of that. Because you can't be talking about deserving it, man. Come on, it's about who made the most to win it. And right now, as it stands, the Cowboys have made the most to win it. So like I said, I think Mike Evans is their only real weapon that the Bucks have. But with Jameis Winston throwing that ball, I know that Mike Evans, he has a ridiculous reach. He can just jump over you and grab the ball wherever it is. As long as it's in his catch radius, he's gonna go out there and he's gonna fight for it, and more than likely he's going to win. But this is where Byron Jones comes in. I think Byron Jones is a perfect matchup for him. Like I said, Byron Jones is very athletic. He's fast enough. He can jump real high. And he's lanky too. He also has that reach. The thing is, he's not as tall as him, but he needs to stay concentrated for him to be able to do a good job against him. Because I've noticed that sometimes Byron Jones, actually, a lot of times he doesn't turn around, and I understand that it's hard to turn around whenever because you don't know where the ball's ever is coming at you. But if you stay concentrated enough, you should be able to at least look back a little bit. I feel like Byron Jones, that's all that's missing in his game, is being able to pick off that ball whenever, instead of having him hit his back or having him kind of put his hand in between the receiver's hands. He should be able to turn around and get the ball every once in a while. That's the only thing that's lacking in his game right now, and really the whole Cowboys defense. But Byron Jones should be able to, as long as he stays concentrated, he should be able to keep Mike Evans under four catches or under for, I don't know, let's just say 60 yards because one play goes for 25. Because you know that, because the Bucks like to throw the ball downfield. That's the one thing that you know is gonna stay constant with Jameis Winston at the quarterback position. Is that he's going to throw the ball, he's going to take chances, and he's also going to throw interceptions, which leads me to my next point. If the Cowboys cannot get at least one or two interceptions against the Bucks, then this defense is not an elite defense. And they won't be this year if they can't do that. I won't consider them that this year if they can't do that. You have to be able to take the ball away to be an elite defense. And if you can't do it against a team like the Bucks, then you can't do it at all. And that's a problem. That's a problem for any aspirations that we have to being champions this year and forever. It's just not going to happen. So that this leads me to my prediction. I think the Cowboys will get at least 2 turnovers, at least 2 picks. No, I'm going to change that. I'm going to say the Cowboys are going to get 2 turnovers, but one is going to be a pick by Chidobe Awuzie, and the other one is going to be a fumble caused by a strip sack by Mr. Tank Lawrence himself. That's my prediction, and I think the Cowboys will win this one. It'll be easier in the beginning. I think we'll have this game wrapped up around the at the start of the fourth quarter. I'm saying we win this game. I don't know. What do you think? Let's see. I'm saying we win this game 24 to 10. Yep. So let's see what happens. I'm excited. I think this week we wrap up the NFC East. And to hell with deserving it. We're going to get it. And like I said, action is what matters. See you later. Feeling a little generous? Support this podcast. Go to anchor.fm/thedrivecowboysaddict/support. That's anchor.fm/thedrivecowboysaddict/support. Any little bit goes a long way. Thank you.